All right, a special guest here now today is David New. We're talking about what he views, and I would view too, as perhaps one of the most important pieces of legislation ever passed. That's the Judiciary Act of 1789, also referred to as an act to establish the judicial courts of the United States. And for many reasons, this is key because it's established the matters of the courts, and we all know how important the courts have become, particularly as they abnormally and wrongfully have usurped the authority of Congress in so many areas. One of the major elements of this and related laws, including Article 6 to the Constitution, was to prohibit what is referred to as a religious test for somebody running for and holding public office. We're going to answer the questions here. Why was this put into place? And what does that really mean? So, David New, I want to go back right now into this. We have a number of things we want to get done in this segment. I want to go here, as we often do, because we say, important to define the terms. Whoever defines the terms controls the debate. So let's start here. It says religious test. I'd like a definition from you of what our founders meant by religious and what they meant by test.
Well, the word religious in this context basically means our relationship to the Creator. Many people like the dictionary definition. I know Pastor Dull does by Webster. I think it's the 1828 dictionary. But there was a definition that appears in the Virginia Bill of Rights is our religion is our relationship to our Creator. A religious test basically is a religious a statement of faith, much like a church has one. And it basically says that you cannot serve the government of the United States unless you comply with this particular religious test. And, of course, the framers said, no, we're not going to do that. And there are several reasons. Number one, the states had their own, many of them had their own religious tests already established. And they did not want the federal government to create their own. This one here in the federal government only applies to the federal government. It does not apply
to... Okay, I want to clarify that before Gary has a question for you, because I think what you're saying is very, very critically important. The founders were not saying in this case that there could not be, in fact, an operative expectation for someone going into office to claim to hold to a statement of faith about God. That's what you're just saying, that the states actually had certain things in effect. What they were saying was that the federal government could not put a requirement of a statement of faith into effect that would override perhaps what the states had already done. Is that what you're saying? Because this is an important distinction here.
Yes, and look at the very last four words where the religious test appears, the no religious test appears in Article 6. It says under the United States. That means the states themselves are not affected.
You know, there once again, we see that people misunderstand what the Constitution is stating, David, because there is a clear distinction, is there not, between what the federal Constitution would state and what the individual state constitutions would state on this particular issue. Is there not? And if I'm on the right track there, make that clarification for our listeners, if you would, please.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. There is a big difference between the feds can do or the federalities can do and what the states can do. The states can have religious tests if they want one. The federal government can't have one. Also, there were many states that did not have a religious test, and they wanted to make sure the federal government did not have one, lest that one become, by force, their religious test in their state. So it was states who had it and states who didn't have it, who didn't want the federal government to have one. And reason number two, there's no way they could have come up with a religious test that all 13 states could agree to. They each had different things, and some of them had none at all.
And why is that the case, Dave?
You mean they had different religious tests? Well, you had different legislative bodies. You had different religious traditions. You had the Puritan traditions in the far north. Then you had the southern states that are Anglican. And then you had the mid-Atlantic states, New York, Delaware, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, that basically didn't have a whole lot of that stuff going on at all. And to some extent they did, like Delaware, but they're different religious traditions, and so they use different wording for their religious tests. Of course, they were all fundamentally Christian. There's no question about that.
Well, they were. I know in Pennsylvania here, where I served, you go to the Pennsylvania Constitution and it says you cannot be denied into office for having or believing in Jesus Christ. So it mentions that specifically, which says, as exactly what you're saying, David, that the operative view of God was God of the Bible, creator God, as the Constitution says, God as judge of the universe, as the Declaration of Independence says, and all the way through. They did not want the federal government stepping in and taking an overriding position. Now, we often refer to the Establishment Clause. I know this is not quite the application here, but I think there is.
Sure.
The idea that there was not a national religion like there was in England, mm-hmm. that separation of church and organized religion from the federal government down, tie that concept into what we're talking here and make it clear. I mean, we're really talking, that's really the definition here of
that is
concept,
the definition. That is the, you hit it right. That is the core definition of what Establishment Clause is about. And Congress in 1853 and 1854, the House and the Senate, each year respectively, came up and defined the Establishment Clause. And they said point blank, the word establishment essentially means what we had in the mother country with England. By the way, that word oath in Article 6, you see that word oath? People say the word God is not in the Constitution. Well, when the framers were, when they were debating the Constitution in the states, two individuals specifically said, one of them later became a Supreme Court justice, that when you see that word oath in the U.S. Constitution, that is an acknowledgement of God, because an oath by definition, by legal definition, is an oath to God, G-O-D. So the God is referred to, without question, in the U.S. Constitution just by virtue of that word oath.
David, you know, again, the last part of Article 6 says, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States of America. You know, that is violated so many times today, because I'm sure that every one of our listeners can remember a time when some individual maybe used God's name or talked about the fact of being a Christian or the fact that they read the Bible on a consistent basis. And then somebody from the left came along and said, well, they're unqualified for office because they used the word Bible or because they talked about God. How have we gotten to that point in our country today?
We just had that with Senator Dianne Feinstein not even 2 months ago, where she objected to one of the president's nominees and basically did it because of her views, her religious views. And this has happened over and over again by some of these left-wing Democrats. They effectively have created a religious test, a secular religious test, which says you can't believe in God, you can't be a Christian, a conservative one, and serve in the federal government.
Well, Dave, we're going to run out of time right here, but you mentioned it. What we're talking about, Article 6, says that Congress or the federal government cannot enact a law regarding a test. However, and they haven't, but the culture, the media, the ignorance of the American people, by buying into the secular test as you're talking about it, are in fact allowing a de facto test to be put into place. And that's because of the ignorance of the people. And I'm going to lay right out here, the pulpits are not preaching this. This is how these things should be differentiated, ladies and gentlemen. And it comes back to this. We cannot survive our self-governing republic without knowledge, the knowledge of truth that comes from God's word. We just can't.